Chapter 10, Wayside Shrines of the Sacred Heart. Visitors to Canada and Europe are always impressed by the sight of public shrines in squares and by the side of the road. In Canada, particularly, tourists see beautiful and large statues of the Sacred Heart in almost every city and town of the Catholic province of Quebec. No need to ask if Canadians have devotion to the Sacred Heart. The outdoor shrines give the answer. They are visible proofs of the faith and devotion of the people who erected them. Now the same thing is happening in the United States. For many years, statues of the Sacred Heart or Our Lady have been erected on the grounds of rectories and convents, but to find wayside shrines along a busy highway is something a visitor from abroad doesn't expect. However, in late years, since 1947 to be exact, an organized movement has been started to erect large wayside shrines in honor of the Sacred Heart of Jesus on well-traveled highways leading into large cities. Already, six of these shrines have been erected and more are being planned. The story behind this project is an interesting one and an inspiring example of what one person can do to promote the honor and glory of the Sacred Heart. The originator of this project is Joseph J. Ellicott, superintendent of the City Water Department in Chicago. Early in 1955, Mr. Ellicott celebrated 50 years of faithful service in City Hall. Over 2,000 friends, including the mayor, came to congratulate him. Mr. Ellicott used the occasion to talk about his plans for spreading love for the Sacred Heart through his shrine project. This was typical of the man, for he has one consuming ambition, to make the Sacred Heart the King of Highways throughout the United States, and to have him enthroned as King of many American homes. Slowly but surely, he's realizing the goal. How it all began, how this one American businessman has succeeded in accomplishing untold good for the Sacred Heart, is a story worth telling and an example for all. Joe Builds a Shrine. It started back in 1946. Mr. Ellicott and his wife Gladys had lived happily together for 30 years. Then Gladys died. Life ceased to have much point or meaning for him after that. When he lost 50 pounds, the doctors feared for his life. Mr. Ellicott says he does not try to account for the dreams that came to him then. In his weakened condition, he might have been delirious. He relates that often his wife's face would appear. Then the figure of the Sacred Heart became mixed with the face of his wife. What was she trying to tell him? "These dreams tormented me. Finally, I confided in my pastor," he said. "Joe," he said, "you've been through a terrible heartache. The most important thing you must do is recover your health." "These dreams must not get him down," he agreed, but he did try to reason them out. He and his wife had always been devoted to the Sacred Heart. Was Gladys trying to tell him to construct a memorial in honor of the Sacred Heart? When Mr. Ellicott told his four sisters, all nuns, of this growing conviction, they too at first tried to discourage him. Finally, won over by his determination, one of them said, "Joe, if you feel this so deeply, who are we to say that God hasn't given you marching orders?" She promised her brother she would try to help him. She decided to write to Father Mateo, thinking he might be able to suggest a spot for a Sacred Heart wayside shrine. Well, the letter was forwarded to Canada, where Father Mateo was a patient in St. Joseph's Hospital in Three Rivers. Father Mateo sent it back to Washington, where the National Center for the Enthronement had just acquired an empty farmhouse on the outskirts of the District of Columbia. "When I read the letter stating that a Chicago man wanted to erect a Sacred Heart shrine on a busy highway near a large city, I saw in it an answer to a prayer. Already I had a small donation toward a Sacred Heart statue, which I planned to erect in front of the frame building which housed the National Center. Truly, this was the spot for Mr. Ellicott's shrine, and right in the nation's capital, too. But there was one big difficulty. There was no highway. True, the district planned on putting through a four-lane highway someday. I'd seen the plans. But would this practical businessman want to spend his money erecting a shrine facing a field without even the semblance of a road? I decided to call in by phone. I wanted that shrine in Washington. I got Mr. Ellicott on the phone. "Do I understand that you want to build a wayside shrine out of your own funds?" I asked. "Yes, that was his plan. We have the spot. Can you come to Washington?" An appointment was made. What happened then is told by Mr. Ellicott in an article he wrote for Guideposts. Over the years, I had saved a few thousand which could be invested in such a shrine. Could this idea grow into something big? If God wants it to be done, nothing can stop it, I told myself over and over again. Upon arriving in Washington that drizzling December day back in 1946, I was met and driven to the northeast section of the district. Just off the end of South Dakota Avenue, we left the pavement and bumped along on a dirt road. At the top of a muddy hill, Father Larkin pointed to a spot covered with scrubby brush. I was terribly let down. Father Larkin sensed my disappointment. "This area is to be developed greatly," he explained. "In a short time, it'll be heavily traveled." "We'll build here," I agreed. That was in December 1946. On June 8, 1947, the first wayside shrine was dedicated in the presence of a large crowd of priests, sisters, and laity. His Excellency, the Most Reverend Amleto Giovanni Cicognani, the Apostolic Delegate to the United States, presided and blessed the statue and the shrine. Now a letter from the Apostolic Delegation of the United States to Reverend Francis Larkin, National Director, Enthronement of the Sacred Heart, Washington, D.C., dated June 8, 1947. "Reverend and dear Father, on the occasion of the dedication of the Sacred Heart Shrine in Washington, D.C., His Holiness Pope Pius XII has graciously deigned to bestow upon the director and co-workers of the National Center of the Enthronement and upon all present at the ceremony of dedication his special apostolic benediction. In conveying to you this august message of the Sovereign Pontiff, I wish to add my own personal good wishes for the success of this work so dear to the heart of our Divine Master. With sentiments of esteem and highest personal regards, I remain sincerely yours in Christ. Signed, A.G. Cicognani, Apostolic Delegate." Since then, the muddy, scraggly hill has been converted into a carpet of green. Today the avenue is paved and the traffic is heavy, for now South Dakota Avenue leads into the new Baltimore-Washington Turnpike. Attractive homes fill the area, and dominating the entire neighborhood is the large, pure white statue of the Sacred Heart, backed by a beautifully blended, multicolored stone grotto. The outstretched arms of the Sacred Heart are a constant invitation to passers-by to stop and say a prayer or to turn their thought to the one who loves them. Many are the stories told of the effect of the shrine on travelers and nearby dwellers. If ever the lights that illuminate the shrine at night go out, the next day a neighbor is sure to call to notify the fathers. A father phoned one morning telling us the light was out and informing us his little girl couldn't say her evening prayers until she could look out the window at the statue of Jesus. One non-Catholic couple bought the house across the street from the shrine so that they might be near the statue of Christ. Then there's a truck driver who would get down on his knees in his cab to say a brief prayer on his way home from work. Early one morning, one of the fathers saw a young couple stop their car, kneel at the foot of the shrine hand in hand, and pray together before continuing on. Children come faithfully each night to lay flowers or greens at the base of the statue. The good accomplished for the thousands who see the shrine each day on their way to and from work will never be measured here below. But that's not the end of the story. The Washington Shrine was but the beginning of a project that has now become nationwide and even has international ramifications. At great expense, this zealous layman had a die cast to reproduce metal replicas of the larger shrine. His object was to get them into as many homes as possible and have these homes enthrone the Sacred Heart. Though he had been offered a large sum of money for the rights to the replica, he has refused to commercialize the project and has always made the replicas available at a nominal cost. Today, over 12,000 replicas are to be found all over the world. 250 Chicago schools have had the enthronement in each classroom, using one of the shrine replicas for the ceremony. This was accomplished by Mr. Ellicott and a companion over a period of 3 years, and the campaign to get the Sacred Heart into schools and homes still goes on. The Blessing of the Holy Father. In 1950, Mr. Ellicott decided to go to Rome for the Holy Year and obtain, if possible, a private audience with the Holy Father, during which he planned to present the Pope with a replica of the Wayside Shrine and obtain the blessing of His Holiness for this project. When some of Mr. Ellicott's clerical friends heard he was planning to get a private audience with the Holy Father during the Holy Year, they were almost convinced he'd lost his mind. But when they later learned that he had actually had a 20-minute private audience and had had his photograph taken with the Sovereign Pontiff, they could scarcely believe their ears. Yet, that is what happened. Without any help from anyone except, as Mr. Ellicott says, the Sacred Heart, he succeeded in obtaining the audience, told his story to the Holy Father, presented him with a replica shrine, had an unprecedented photograph taken, and received the warm encouragement and blessing of the Vicar of Christ. "You're doing wonderful work," was the Pontiff's parting remark. During the audience, Mr. Ellicott promised the Holy Father two more shrines would be erected during the Holy Year. The promise was kept. The second shrine was built in New York City, on Upper Broadway, on the grounds of the Pro Patria Council Clubhouse by the Knights of Columbus. And the third was erected in Chicago on Lakeshore Drive at Devon Avenue, on the campus of Mundelein College. Shrine number 4 followed in 1952 on the campus of Mount Mary College in Milwaukee at the corner of Burleigh and Menominee Drives. It was erected by the School Sisters of Notre Dame. In January 1955, the fifth Wayside Shrine was dedicated by His Eminence Thomas Cardinal Tien, an exiled Chinese prelate, on Highway 90 at St. Augustine Seminary for the training of colored boys for the priesthood. Archbishop Rummel of New Orleans preached, and Bishop Jarrell of Natchez led the act of consecration. This shrine was paid for and erected by the members of the St. Augustine's Catholic Colored Men's Retreat League. Over 4,000 people witnessed a dedication, which was televised. On June 26, 1955, another shrine was dedicated by Bishop Timothy Manning, Auxiliary of Los Angeles, on the campus of Marymount College on Sunset Boulevard, Beverly Hills, California. And on September 4th, Shrine number 7 was dedicated in Santa Fe, New Mexico. At the present writing, the 8th shrine, sponsored by the Southern Province of the Brothers of the Sacred Heart, is being planned somewhere in the South. An interesting feature about these shrines is that they are identical in statue, type of stone, style of grotto, and kneelers. Moreover, at each shrine a bronze plaque has been erected, inscribed with the 12 promises of the Sacred Heart. This was also Mr. Ellicott's idea. He hopes to have a shrine in every large city in the United States. American Parley. But this zealous friend of the Sacred Heart has further plans to draw souls closer to the King of Love. For several years, he's envisioned a reparation chapel for perpetual adoration on the grounds of the Sacred Heart Seminary in Washington, close to the original Wayside Shrine and housing the National Center of the Enthronement in the basement. He furthermore has had the inspired idea of making this chapel a replica of the Visitation Chapel at Paray-le-Monial, where the Sacred Heart appeared to St. Margaret Mary, and which Mr. Ellicott visited in 1950. At that time, he presented the Mother Superior a replica of his shrine. It is now in the room in which St. Margaret Mary died. Perhaps this saint of the Sacred Heart had something to do with Mr. Ellicott's latest idea of erecting an American Parley in the nation's capital. Plans are being drawn up, and if all goes well, he hopes to have it dedicated soon. 1956, the 10th anniversary of his wife's death, and the centennial year of the extension of the Feast of the Sacred Heart to the Universal Church. A wayside shrine, Joel? You're crazy. Joseph Ellicott's shrine is now a reality. And soon, wayside shrines of the Sacred Heart will surround our country, thanks to the zeal of this humble but dynamic lay apostle of the Sacred Heart. Be an apostle of the Sacred Heart. We hope you've been inspired by the story of what Mr. Ellicott and other men and women have done for the Sacred Heart. Perhaps you envy them and wish you could imitate them in spreading love for the King of Love. But maybe you get discouraged at the difficulties of the task, or at the thought of your own limitations. You say to yourself, I can never be an apostle of the Sacred Heart. I'm too poor a speaker. I have no personality. I'm too timid to approach people. I'm not worthy. If this is your case, take courage. The Sacred Heart likes to work with weak instruments. In fact, he promised St. Margaret Mary, my reign will be established in the midst of contradictions and by weak and despised subjects. He wants to prove that this is his work. He wants to show his power by employing poor tools. Provided we trust him, try to love him, and do our best to make him better known and better loved, he will verify his words to the saint at Parey. If you believe, you will see the power of my heart in the magnificence of my love. As Father Mateo has said so many times, the success of a true apostle of the Sacred Heart does not depend upon talent, hard work, cleverness, or human techniques, but rather upon the way he loves the Sacred Heart. He says an apostle is an overflowing chalice, one filled to the brim with love for Jesus and flowing over on souls. Such was the little flower, the greatest missionary of our time. Any man or woman, or child for that matter, who sincerely wants to love the Sacred Heart and who humbly admits the twofold truth that without God I can do nothing, but I can do all things in him who strengtheneth me, can do great things in spreading the reign of the Sacred Heart. Promoters of the enthronement, night adoration in the home, and Tarsesians are needed everywhere. If you wish to help, contact one of the secretaries and offer your services. Who knows? The salvation of many souls and families may be the result. Prayer for the extension of the social reign of the Sacred Heart of Jesus. O Jesus, King of love and mercy, in the name of promises you made to St. Margaret Mary in favor of souls devoted to your Sacred Heart, we ask you to establish the reign of your adorable heart throughout the entire world by means of your priests and apostles. If we are really your friends, we must have your glory at heart. We plead with you in a special way for the crusade of the enthronement, which the Church has blessed, and which has already brought so many souls back to your Sacred Heart. Bless it by your kind and powerful heart, that it may fulfill all your requests made at Paray-le-Monial, and thus enable you to fulfill the promises you made to the apostles of your Sacred Heart. You have said, I will reign through my heart. Bless then this crusade, that it may become more and more fruitful, and grant that those who are charged with the interest of your church may also bless it and encourage it more and more. Your glory is our glory. Your cause is ours. Your interests are our interests, and your love is our love, because by your great mercy, your heart is ours. That is why we beseech you, through your Immaculate Mother, through Saint Margaret Mary, your faithful disciple, through all the fervent apostles devoted to your Sacred Heart, to verify in us, your friends, and through our apostolate, the magnificent promises of your merciful love. Though we realize our weakness, we will try to be docile instruments to help you carry out the designs of your loving heart. We promise to be, by all the means that Providence may place in our hands, everywhere and always, apostles of the crusade which proclaims your social rights, your royalty of love. Most Sacred Heart of Jesus, thy kingdom come. Queen of Apostles, pray for us. Saint Margaret Mary, pray for us. Little Flower of Jesus, pray for us. This prayer, composed by Father Matteo Crawley Beauvais. A note. Since the writing of this chapter, wayside shrines have been erected at the Sacred Heart Seminary in Detroit, Michigan, Immaculate Conception Church, Fitchburg, Massachusetts, Father Damien Council Knights of Columbus, Highway 6, Mattapoisett, Massachusetts, Bishop Hoban High School, Kansas City, Missouri, Sisters of St. Joseph Mother House in Garfield Heights, Ohio. The replica of Paray-le-Monial, which is located at 4900 South Dakota Avenue Northeast, Washington, D.C., near the National Shrine of the Immaculate Conception, was dedicated by the former apostolic delegate, now Amlito Cardinal Cicognani, on the Feast of Christ the King, 1958. What was probably the last apostolic blessing of Pope Pius XII was granted to those attending the dedication. The readers are invited to make a pilgrimage to the Sacred Heart Chapel, the American Paray-le-Monial. Here may be venerated first-class relics of St. Margaret Mary and Blessed Claude de la Colombière, S.J., the two great apostles of the Sacred Heart. In the Sacred Heart Chapel are beautiful shrines to St. Margaret Mary and St. Tarsesius. Below the chapel is located the National Center of the Enthronement and Night Adoration in the home. Mr. Joseph J. Ellicott died on June 23, 1961, in the month of the Sacred Heart. Rest in peace.